You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get, except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. Come get up. IGN Gamescoop. What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN Gamescoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. Joining me this week is Justin Davis, Scoop. Sam Claiborne,
hey, everyone.
And CJ Gibson.
What's up?
And we have a great show for you this week, in spite of the fact that there is no video game news happening whatsoever. The only thing in the news is Avengers and Game of Thrones.
Yeah,
a lot of that.
And it's times like this, these dire times, that we turn to listener mail. We turn to you, our dear listeners, to provide us with topics to discuss.
Are we not going to talk about that Sonic trailer?
I mean, we really should.
I mean, we can talk about the Sonic trailer if you guys want to.
See, Damon's a little upset because he loved it, and we all thought it was ridiculous
no,
and awful.
Did it.
Yeah,
Damon is just super pro-Sonic right now.
Yeah,
he's pro Coolio is what it is.
Naturally.
That's why Dangerous Minds is his favorite movie.
It's just those teeth just won Damon over, and I don't know.
Oh, gosh.
The teeth are the worst part.
Terrifying.
Everything's the worst part. I think Jim Carrey's the worst part.
I was going to say, maybe
I don't think Sonic is.
Yeah, Jim Carrey's pretty bad.
What do you think, Justin? You like Jim Carrey still?
I mean, I don't know. His goof seemed good. Like, my daughter would probably laugh at that. Like,
that's the whole
good
thing.
For, like, kids
like little kids.
Yeah.
Right?
It's like Ace Ventura all over
I love
again.
The tagline, every hero has a genesis.
Yeah.
But what's the tagline in Europe, in Japan?
It's not going to translate.
They
well.
All have a Mega Drive.
Every hero has a drive.
I like that. I think it works.
Yeah.
Yikes.
This movie's not coming out in Japan.
What, you don't think so?
It's going to be a travesty regardless of where
it's
going
to come
out
straight to VHS.
Exactly.
That's probably for the best. Yeah. We also have the 1998 Buyer's Guide, EGM Buyer's Guide.
How many games are in it?
Well, there's over 1,100 game reviews and tricks.
Nice.
Ooh. Those aren't the same thing.
GoldenEye's on the cover, though.
They've just thrown reviews and tricks together.
Well, I think we use reviews to trick people into buying games.
That's
hot take. That was the IGN slogan for like a decade.
Retracted.
Tricking people into buying games since 1998.
The weird thing is that we do the opposite of that. We tell people not to get games, and then they get real mad and get the games anyway.
Yeah.
That's true.
I think that's the mostly what we do.
You can't win. Like, we... Whatever. No, I don't want to...
Yeah, we want to go down this path here.
True. Let's check in with this listener, Angelo Valdivia.
Hello.
That's a really cool name. I feel like everyone that writes in has such cool names.
That's true. A lot of them really do. They wrote into gamescoop@ign.com, just like you, Kim. And they say, since the PS Wii 60 generation, never heard it called that, but I like it.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I'll allow it.
Do you remember Wii 60, though?
Yeah, that was a real thing.
Yeah.
Just because that's like, what you with your combo?
You don't need the other thing. You just need a Wii and a 360.
So what's the word for the PS4 and Switch combo?
Oh.
That's, I feel like, a more... more common combo this generation.
Switch S4.
Yeah.
That's not bad. That's not bad.
No, it's terrible.
Wii 60 was great.
I mean, Wii 60 seems weird too, but.
Yeah, okay.
No, they were trying to box out. They were trying to box out Sony.
Yeah.
Xbox fans and Nintendo fans.
Keeping it Mario themed and just P-Switch.
P-Switch is good.
P-Switch.
Let's get a little Mario 3 callback there. Yeah.
Better than Switch S4.
What do you mean actually pretty good? I'm good at naming and branding.
Are you?
It's not a surprise.
You're better than the Xbox staff.
Give you
anything. I'll say that.
Yeah. Okay, what's the name? Oh, well, no. Anyway.
Oh, I guess I won that round.
Consoles have been evolving over their lifetimes with the advent of firmware upgrades and generational half-steps. We've had many quality of life improvements, and now a new generation looms on the horizon. Mm-hmm. In this exciting lead-up...
I'll just leave.
What are some improvements or features on your wish lists?
Mm.
For me, I've always hoped there would be a kind of quick-save button on controllers. Perhaps tucked away somewhere safe underneath so it's not easy to press accidentally.
That's a pretty good idea.
Yeah. Also, an important feature I really wish would come back is the ability to set inverted aiming on the console system settings, which was available in the Xbox 360 and carries across all your games. For some dumb reason, emphasis his, this feature wasn't included on the Xbox One. Microsoft did attempt to patch something similar back in 2015, but all it actually did was invert the right stick entirely, so up became down in console menus.
Ouch.
What are some improvements or changes you'd like to see? Or perhaps switch out the multitask or share buttons for something else. First of all, quick save is a good idea.
Yeah. That's a great idea.
When games have that, do you use it? When they do map it to a button?
Yeah.
It doesn't happen very often.
It's not often.
Yeah.
Not I think Fallout.
I think it's something that does.
They don't have it in like a button, but they almost all have it in like menus. Yeah, I would quick save in Skyrim and then murder everyone on Whiterun and then just restore my save.
Yeah. That's
they should all get very scared if they see the hero quick saving.
But you. But you think the quick save functionality should be like in the like system?
Like a UI.
No.
Yeah.
Not based on the game.
Nope.
No, but that's not, I think that's what Angelo's talking
about. No, I know.
Oh, okay, all right.
But they have standby mode now, where for the most part, if you do just put your system into standby mode, you can power it up and you're usually at the same point. And I actually really like that with PlayStation 4. So, I mean, that's not save, but it is kind of nice where you can shut your system down and for the most part be there again.
I think the share button's really cool. Like, the share button on the PS4 was really ahead of its time. Like, at the time that they had to bake in that was going on that controller and it was happening at, like, a console UI level, like, Twitch wasn't the thing it was today. Like, they were definitely ahead of the curve on that one.
Yeah.
Do you know a functionality I really appreciated once the Xbox 360 rolled in? Just being able to power the console on with the button. Like, that seems really weird. And
what do you mean?
Or
the controller button?
Just turn on the unit. Yeah. I remember thinking to myself, like, this seems like such a basic idea. Like, nobody had done it before. You could actually sit on the couch and power on the
device. Back to the NES, like, there's nothing stopping you from using a controller to turn on the system, but they didn't let you.
Yeah, and even all I feel like a misstep with all these little, like, you know, mini consoles is that there's no way to go back into the UI menu without hitting the button physically on the device. It's like, did you not design this where you could go back into it with the controller and you get off the couch? I sound very lazy all of a sudden, realizing, but it's basic functionality like that that I think is pretty odd.
That wasn't really possible until wireless controllers became standard.
Absolutely.
It's a fairly recent development.
Yeah.
Well, it just became more convenient. I mean, a wired controller could turn on a system too. They never did.
Yeah. That's what I mean. Yeah.
It's weird, right?
I always love new consoles. It's so exciting, right? What are they going to look like and what are the specs going to be? But
what are they going to smell like?
It's always a bummer when you have to go back to that like basic UI. Like, they've been building up and adding stuff and adding stuff, and then the new console comes out. Will it have Netflix? Will it play DVDs? Will it play Blu-rays?
Yeah,
like,
so funny.
They take stuff away and then slowly spend the next 5 years adding it back in. So
I know what the new consoles are going to sound like.
Yeah, exactly. Processing all that 8K.
I really liked how recently buttons came back to consoles after, like, you got the brush touch and you would accidentally turn it
on.
And then now, like, the Xbox One X, they just put a button back.
Yeah, naturally. I mean, honestly,
I don't think they need to hide the buttons as well as they do, too.
No.
You know, like, not to get too old man yells at Cloud about it, but it is funny. Like, it doesn't make it look better to me that the buttons are hidden.
Every time I've asked somebody how to turn on a PS4 at first, slim or otherwise, or even the Pro, they do not know how to do it.
It has been 5 years, and I hit the wrong button to turn on my PS4 every time.
Yeah, it is weird.
There's a PC we have here. It came with the Oculus the first time we ever got the Oculus. We've all played on this a lot.
Yeah.
And it's like a tower, and it looks kind of like a console. It looks like a PlayStation. It's smaller than other PCs. And its buttons to turn it on are so impossible to find, and they're worked into these, like, creased grooves of like all this raised, you know, video game look nonsense on it.
It's like an Indiana Jones like puzzle that you have to figure out how to open up this artifact.
And the first time I took home the Oculus and had a bunch of people over, it was like right when VR was starting, you know, and I was so excited. Everybody's in my living room, like so honored to be able to try VR before it's even out in public. Couldn't figure out how to turn it on. I had to call Dan. I was like, I need a PC expert. And he's like, I don't know how to turn it on. I was the first person to figure that one out. But I seriously had to like, run my fingers over like every contour.
Yeah.
So stupid.
Oh, man. Yeah.
We couldn't figure out when we got the PlayStation 2, we thought it was busted. Me and my friends were in high school. We were so scared. And we didn't know that there was the on switch in the back.
The second.
Oh, that's right.
The other flip. Thing, they have two on switches. Why do that?
What purpose does that serve?
Yep. No purpose.
You know what an on switch would be nice to have, though, is on just a controller. Because, like, I always leave my controller and, like, walk away. And then I realize, like, my Xbox controller is completely drained all its
battery. Yeah, that was always the problem with the Wii, where if you jostled the controller slightly, it would wake up. And we kept our Wii controllers in our drawer. Mm-hmm. And then whenever we did want to play Wii, the batteries were always dead.
Yeah. A perma off switch would be nice for that.
Yeah. Wii remotes did last pretty long, though.
Just take out your batteries.
Pretty good. PlayStation 3 controllers were never good for battery life.
Would you guys want little screens back on your controllers like Dreamcast?
That was pretty cool.
Oh, that was pretty sick.
Had a little virtual pet.
Yeah. What are you going to do with it, though?
What did they do with
pick
it?
Pick your play and Madden.
Yeah. But it's
nothing?
Like, yeah. It's
nothing
like,
was ever done with it?
In order to look at it, you have to look away from your TV screen. So it doesn't really make any sense.
What if it smiles at you?
No, that's not enough.
Okay. There's all these weird features that, like, I don't know, like the PS4 controller has a speaker in it. That was like, it was used in like the first year before everybody figured out that's pretty dumb.
I hate it. Did you hear the Days Gone Day when that happened here?
No.
So our guide writer, Janet, she was playing Days Gone, and I thought she just had her headset off and was like, because she was using headphones, I thought she had it off and lying and like cranked at maximum volume.
Yeah.
I thought she was like listening to the audio volume that way. I kind of was like, hey, like, you know.
Why are you doing that?
Yeah, why are you doing that? She's like, it's the controller. And the controller was just screeching. There's like a moment in the game where it's just like. I don't know what's happening. They used it for like some kind of radio thing.
Yeah, the Wii did that a lot. And I put tape over it all the time. The sound from the Zelda sword clanging. Against something, I'm like, please stop
it. Tape over it?
Yes, absolutely. I hate that. There's
so
no way
tinny,
to adjust the volume of it.
You couldn't even just turn it off?
I don't know if you could. Some games, I think, gave you the option in the UI to dim it down or to decrease the volume. But for the most part, I put tape over it a lot, layers, because I hated that sound.
We put tape over many of our children's toys.
There you go.
Speaking of which, Damon, you got us what remains the bane of our life.
Oh,
a gift.
Is it a music toy?
The cat keyboard. When we had our oldest daughter, and now we have two, you got what remains to this day the loudest, most obnoxious toy that we have in our house.
Thanks.
They love
it. You go like,
meow, 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 meow.
I think every single time I think the phase of the cat keyboard's over, it has like another renaissance and resurgence
cycles
in the house.
There you go.
That's true. We also got that for our niece. And the parents are fine with it, but the niece's grandparents were, no there.
No thanks. No bueno.
It was definitely a gift given by someone that does not have kids of their own.
Yeah, it's true.
You mentioned the UI thing real quick. I will say that was the thing that actually turned me off from Xbox One. Was not a fan of the Xbox One UI when it came over.
Dude,
and I switched
to
PlayStation for that reason.
It's somehow so ridiculous.
They have some of the top men in the video game industry working at that company.
Top men.
Yeah, that was the reference. And then it's only gotten worse.
Yeah.
It's so bad.
It's the point that unless you pin a game into the dashboard, sometimes I actually don't even know how to find it.
You can only pin
it.
So much.
I know, and that's the problem.
I can't tell if this is just me being an old man or if it genuinely is broken, but like, I'm like, how do I play a video game?
No, I've had that.
It's a bit
I don't
both,
get mad at it anymore, though. I was like kind of doing it. I was like talking to my wife and like trying to find like Amazon Prime, you know, just to watch Amazon streaming. And I just started laughing. I was just like, I have no idea how to start this right now.
It's just random tiles all over the screen.
I got like lost in the dumb Xbox.
There's no
I use it every day.
You guys are talking about the Xbox interface.
Xbox One.
My Xbox One hasn't been turned on in probably 2 years.
That's
there you
actually
go.
A good point.
And it's a combination of it operates a little bit too much like a computer versus like a console. It's layers deep when you're opening up a menu or a UI and then something's loading up. Then you're loading the settings. Then you're loading the uninstall menu. It is like a computer versus
PlayStation.
It's
like switching between
like
Mac and Windows or something. It's like,
very much.
Am I ever going to play that thing again?
Yeah, Xbox One?
Yeah. I'm trying, like, is there a game coming out in the next?
Probably not that you can't play on PS4. So it's like.
Yeah, or PC.
Halo Infinite.
Yeah, or PC.
Obviously, probably going to be next console, so.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll see you next generation Xbox, maybe.
Yeah.
Speaking of the interface stuff, I wish we could personalize and customize our game library like more. Mm. Think about everything you can do in like iTunes. Mm-hmm. If anyone still uses iTunes.
I do.
And how you can arrange your music library any way you want and create playlists. Arrange things by artist or developer.
Yeah. You can do folders, actually, in PlayStation. In PlayStation
create 4. Folders?
Yeah. Really? Yeah, you can do folders and subfolders where you actually can, I think, well, you have to go and categorize your games in it and decide what goes in where. But yeah, there is. I think there is a way to do that now.
I'd want to set up like a, well, I'd want to set like a library of just arcade games and like just retro games.
Yeah.
And then I want a random button on my controller.
Ooh.
You'll pick a game at random.
There you go. Yeah, just
that's
go.
Really cool.
Random select. Yeah. PlayStation has done a lot of really good UI things, even in the context of friends lists. Like you can have individual friends lists now in different categories. You can customize the sidebar and decide what options you most tune into most, if it's like, you know, the power, the volume, and setting. So they've done a really good job at making it easy. And this is like from an Xbox guy. I was an Xbox fan in 360. And
remember the Blades?
Yeah. So good. Blades, a new Xbox experience.
Yeah, I remember.
It was fast and snappy and quick.
And then they got rid of the Blades.
I know.
It was really strange when that happened.
Yeah, and the Blades were...
And you know that thing you all like? It's gone.
Naturally. So, evolution.
Just like Xbox Live Arcade.
I'm loving the random button idea. I'm thinking about this. Do contemporary emulators have that?
Yes.
Okay.
So like if you like Raspberry Pi, something you could do it? Because we should set up like an arcade cabinet here.
I agree.
The only button besides the controls is just says random.
It has to just say
game. You can't start a game otherwise.
A giant button that just says game, and then you smash it.
Yeah.
And then you
and
play.
Then you're putting the game.
Yeah. That'd be good.
No, that's a fun Saturday afternoon for me. My RetroPie has over 6,000 games on it.
Oh,
random.
That's crazy.
What am I playing right now?
Have you got the same game twice in a row?
Not twice in a row.
Okay. No. Just feels like it's a lot of games.
But you might end up on the Virtual Boy game Mario Clash.
Have you talked about? How does Virtual Boy emulation work?
It just presents it on the TV, but there's no 3D.
Is there any depth that it looks like?
No, that's why it's actually hard to tell
what's happening.
What platforms
so
you can jump
to. So it's just kind of overlaying the images as well as it can.
It just looks like a red Game Boy game on my TV.
Gross. But it was slightly playable.
Yeah, and playable for me enough for me to get a sense of what the game was.
That game's cool.
The game's very.
It's just Mario Brothers, but it has. It's based on the original arcade Mario Brothers.
Yeah, but I don't. It's not multi. It's not two players.
Yeah, how could it be?
Because it's the Virtual Boy. Yeah.
Let me look in that other ocular device. Yeah. There you go.
This episode of Game Scoop is brought to you by NordVPN. As Scoop Nation knows, your Omega Cops have been a little obsessed with a movie called Weekend at Bernie's lately. But as happens too often these days, it is difficult to find it streaming here in the U.S. That's where NordVPN comes in. With NordVPN, you can switch your virtual location to a more enlightened region where they appreciate the comic delights of Weekend at Bernie's. And it's not just for streaming movies and shows. Switching your virtual location can allow you to save money by purchasing flights, hotels, and subscriptions from other countries at a cheaper price. And you can do all this worry-free as NordVPN threat protection features protect you from viruses, malware, and phishing sites. Best of all, NordVPN costs the price of a cup of coffee a month, and one account can be used on up to 6 devices. To get the best discount on your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/gamescoop. Our link will also give you 4 extra months on the 2-year plan. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. That's nordvpn.com/gamescoop. 1 in 5 Americans has learned a new language on their bucket list, or life backlog, if you will. If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel. Upgrade your personal skill set in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Its tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and deliver with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. I have a trip to Mexico coming up, so I've been using Babbel to brush up on my Spanish. The courses are short and sweet, so I can do one whenever I have a few minutes to spare. And the words and phrases it teaches you are designed for practical, real-world use, like ordering at a restaurant or asking for directions. Babbel can even provide you feedback on your pronunciation with its speech recognition tech. And it's not just for Spanish. Babbel includes 14 different language courses, each backed by a 20-day money-back guarantee. Here's a special limited-time deal for Scoop Nation. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, only for our listeners, at babbel.com/gamescoop. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/gamescoop, spelled BABBEL.com/gamescoop. Rules and restrictions may apply. Moving on, this is Jody from Texas.
Hey, Jody.
Jody says, Damon keeps saying, nicely job. And I assumed it was an obscure reference that gamers know from a poor translation, like all your base are belong to us. Mm-hmm. However, I cannot find it anywhere online, and it's driving me crazy. Can you please let me in on the reference?
I asked you about that this week.
Did you?
Yeah, remember?
You don't remember?
How long has it been going on for?
What game is that from? I think it was on GameScope.
Yeah. That reference is from a GameScope that we recorded maybe a year ago, where I just goofed and said, nicely job, instead of saying nicely done or good job.
Gotcha.
But I owned it, and now I turned it into a catchphrase.
It is good, because every time I see it, I see a bunch of people now saying it in the comment section. I was like, nicely job. I'm like, this is great. I'm just going to roll with this. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I appropriated it. I turned it, solid. Took control of it.
There's got to be some obscure game out there that uses that for this in-screen.
Probably.
Giant enemy crab.
There's some really funny video game in-screens.
Yeah.
I was there. I was in the crowd for that.
A winner is you.
Did you scream?
It was just that was the most uncomfortable, long, hot press conference of all time.
Which conference?
The Sony one, the giant enemy crab one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That was reenactment one?
That was my first E3 working for IGN, and we were our war room was at the convention center. We were all watching it from the war room.
Yeah.
And that was when they announced $600.
That's right. That was 2006.
$599 US.
Yeah. Yep.
That's crazy.
Ooh. And they joked that gamers would get a second job to pay for it.
Whoops.
Pre-microtransactions.
Jody says, P.S., what happened to Big Tony Style? Haven't heard a question from him in a long time.
Mm-hmm. Funny you should ask, Jim.
Funny you should ask, because this next email comes from Big Tony
Big
Style.
Big Tony Style.
He says,
he answer the question?
It's a good thing he wrote in.
I know. Big Tony Style says, when I think of defining generations of consoles, I like to think what was brought to the table that didn't exist and the consoles that came before it. Looking at last gen, I think of all the online growth brought with Xbox Live Arcade, PSN, which changed the way we could buy and play games in a connected ecosystem. As we near the end of the current generation of Sony and Microsoft consoles, how would you define this generation? What will it be remembered for?
Yeah.
Microtransactions.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I've been thinking about this too. Like, the move to 3D is the obvious one in the 32-bit generation, then...
Wow.
Ignore that.
I don't know if you heard. There's a big loud crash from the room next door.
Construction.
They're taking stuff out of the game.
Tearing us down.
I think this generation's sort of lacking, a unified identity, or the identity it does have is not actually necessarily that positive. A lot of games as a service and a lot of sort of mobile game tricks and tactics with loot games sort of trickling its way into the console space, even though the games are still $60. So
it's the 0.5 generation.
Yeah,
they had editions that came out that were different than the first ones.
Yeah, and like even the generation before had a couple things, like Gears of War was like a generation-defining game, and then every game after that had to implement a cover system. And Assassin's Creed and games like that showed that every game could be open world. Open world used to be sort of like a rarity or a novelty, and now it's just it's more weird. It's like, wait, Dishonored's not open world? Like, it's just odd when it's not the case. Mm-hmm. So that's what we got last gen, and I don't know that we got any positive console generation defining traits this time
around. I mean, Battle Royale was cross-platform, and that was a big deal.
We're still in the midst
cross-platform
of
for
that.
Yeah. I mean, I think most of the time, do you guys use your device as a player for a lot of different media as well, I think? Yeah,
yes, but I started doing that last gen.
You did, with 360 and PlayStation 3?
Yeah, that's a good point.
I use a lot of my consoles for that reason now. I didn't do that much. But I use that functionality a lot on my TV as well too. Like, a lot of TVs now are smart TVs and they have that built into it. So I've moved away from that in my console over the last year or year or two.
We've moved away from motion controls.
Yes, thank God.
Switch uses
thank
a little
God.
Bit.
Yes,
but like that was
yeah.
a.
Even oh yeah, even PlayStation 4 early on. I remember even Uncharted and stuff having like balancing thing you needed to do, and it's like, oh my gosh,
yeah.
It's almost like a generation defined by what it's not doing anymore.
Yeah,
in some ways, making video games. Crunch culture is at the forefront now, and AAA game development just feels almost impossible. But that's balanced out. Not balanced out, but a counterpoint to that is that, indie games and smaller teams.
That's true.
It's never been easier and better. Like, I think the stat was Katana Zero sold 100,000 copies.
Yeah.
I may have made that up, but that's like a success for Devolver. And that would have been like unthinkable and impossible, not that long ago. Like, to get a game like, Castle Crashers was like so weird and rare and uncommon. And now we have so much more depth and breadth in regards to like big blockbuster experiences all the way down to like experiences made by one person.
Yeah, if we're going to get cultural, I mean, diversity and inclusion is this generation.
Yeah.
And this is, you know, time's up. And like game characters have never been more different from each other, and you've never had more options to play as who you want to be in games.
Yep.
That is all new, and that could be what we look back on as a, you know, a time, but it has nothing to do with the tech of the consoles really. Kind of a little bit, but it's more about, you know, the state of the art of gaming.
Yeah, I mean, so I'll say one thing just thinking about now. Probably I would say the digital download process of actually going towards that versus buying discs. Like, I didn't buy digital games very often in the 360, PlayStation 3 generation. I almost buy them exclusively now, you know, through codes or online. And there was something tangible, I guess. I'm so trying to keep cool.
A room is being destroyed next to us.
There's something going on.
We have a library full of video games that's being stored while we redo that library.
But there's like metal crashing.
So if you can hear that.
Taking the actual shelves apart.
That's what it is. Yeah, literally. But I think we were talking about that too, like accessibility and then just the ability to share games on different consoles if you have them digitally. That functionality, again, as somebody who has multiple consoles and has kids, is really awesome. I don't need to buy the actual disc multiple times because that's what I would have done in the past in order to play the game a bunch of different times. So
we're seeing
or online
video games as a medium get old enough now that, you know, Nintendo's always been doing this, always reinventing Mario and Zelda, but now other people have kind of figured out how to, you know, how to do this too. Like God of War is what was this, the seventh mainline God of War game?
Yeah.
But it doesn't feel like God of War 7. Like, video games have enough history to them now that
they're
you can see these characters recontextualized in a new way that is interesting and fun and still sort of tweaks your nostalgia bone, but without, you know, without relying solely on that.
Yeah. It is true, when I was thinking about this question, it's true that not every generation provides a significant leap in technology or like a significant like new milestone. Sometimes it's just like prettier versions of what you're playing before, which I think is what the 16-bit generation was.
That's a really good example of
the Super Nintendo game library is probably one of the strongest in all of gaming and still very playable today.
PS2, but GameCube, Xbox are like that as well.
Yeah, so like the real significant, you know, if you're thinking of starting with like NES 8-bit, you don't get a significant leap until the 30-bit. Era with PlayStation, and then like you just said, PS2 is kind of just like more of the same.
Yeah,
it's interesting.
Those games, I mean, way to look at it. Every time I go back and play something from the SNES era, it feels so good. And the music is amazing, and the art style and the feeling, and those are things that even now are tricky to do. I think just that's still we all talked about this before. The gameplay is just so it's like at the core of, you know, all the games that I enjoy, and those games hold up so well.
All right, this is Brennan. This is Justin. Mentioned that he wanted brawlers with cards and more card-based games. I wanted to know if he's ever played Phantom Dust.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
Yeah.
Phantom Dust is great.
He says that might be right up his alley. It had a lot of things that were well ahead of its time, and it has an art style that is stylized enough that it hasn't aged as poorly as many of its peers on the original Xbox. Additionally, it was remastered and is available for free on Xbox One.
Yeah. Does Brendan suggest a game for CJ to play?
Why?
No.
Has he suggested one for us? Justin?
He didn't suggest one for you either.
I don't expect that kind of interaction.
When I was suggesting a brawler, I was thinking more like Final Fight, like 2D style. But yeah, Phantom Dust, absolutely.
Is Phantom Dust a brawler?
Yeah.
I know it's some sort of a card battle game.
It's a it's a third-person combat game where you have a deck of cards, and then you choose which ones want to be in your deck, and then those become moves that are mapped to the face buttons on the controller. So
kill me.
I think you might like Phantom Dust.
Do you fight in it?
What?
Do you like? What is it, a brawler? Is that what you guys are talking about?
It's a
why you're talking about it.
Sort of
a card brawler.
Sort of
like you punch people.
Yeah.
Or do you use a card?
You punch. Also it's you action. Punch
it's an
and
action.
Use cards.
It's an action game.
Okay, so it is a combination of that.
CJ,
you can't
once
CJ?
An episode.
I didn't see what
no,
happened.
Once an episode. You did it, Sam. Kill me. Oh.
All right, we got 22 minutes. What are we going to do for the rest of this episode?
We're going to look at this 1998 buyer's guide from EGM with over 1,100 game reviews and
a trap is in it.
Boom.
Turns out the asterisk, it's like it's 50 reviews and 1,050 tricks.
Yeah.
On the front, on the cover is GoldenEye, Parappa, Star Fox 64, Final Fantasy VII, and Lara Croft, not Tomb Raider.
This is an EGM video game buyer's guide.
This is an EGM, 1998.
The very first time my name was ever in print was it was in an EGM buyer's guide.
There's that boomerang controller again.
I was recommending mobile games.
Right off the bat, I like this ad for this personal video game TV.
Ooh.
It's a 13-inch monitor with speakers that are attached to it, and they swivel open. So you can close them.
Maybe we should get that for our retro setup by our desk.
That's what I was going to say.
Good idea.
It's called the GX Personal Video Game TV.
Is there a phone number we can call?
Why would you want to close the speakers over it?
To protect the screen or take up traveling. Less space?
Yeah. It's just going to scratch the screen.
It comes with video game sound presets.
Oh, there you go.
And also graphic enhancement circuitry.
Gotcha.
Very skeptical.
What's it called? I'm going to look it up and scratch there.
How many D batteries does that take?
GX.
Why is it so hard to find the title of it?
It just says it right here.
What a great ad.
Personal video game TV. It's $200.
Here's the bet. Wait. Before Sam looks it up.
Yeah.
It was $199 back then. Is it going to be more than that or less than that now?
Well, it's hard to calculate because that's after a $30 mail-in rebate.
Oh.
Nobody can do that.
So give me what you think the product name is.
GX Personal Video Game TV.
Is it Panasonic?
Samsung GX TV.
Nah, that's less.
It's the Samsung GX TV.
No one even knew what Samsung was back then.
Exactly. Samsung was not a name brand that started until they got into that TV market space with flat screens.
Cool Borders 2. Mm-hmm. Anyone know that one? Snowboarding game?
Yeah.
There's an ad for it, and the tagline is, "Be on a first-name basis with the ozone layer."
Cool.
There you go.
Because you're gonna go up so high in the half pipe off the jumps.
But it doesn't have like a first name.
No.
Oh. What if it doesn't have a name?
It's the ozone layer.
Okay, I found one.
All right.
It's gonna be less.
What was the price that we're looking at?
$199.
After a $30 mail-in rebate.
Okay. So this is $250 plus $24 in shipping.
It's more.
Wow.
Look how it has a chrome case when it closes.
That's really cool, Sam. Do we have a CapEx budget? We got to get
this. Yeah, we can CapEx this.
Unless anybody out there
has one that they want to send us one.
Oh, my God.
It's that graphic enhancement circuitry.
Yeah.
That's much cooler than I expected. The way that it hinges shut, actually, it looks like it actually like matches up at the seams.
It's a cabinet with a little bulb on it when it shuts. It's so confusing why it has to do that.
So weird.
That's cool.
Okay.
All right. You ready for this feature? This is the good, the bad.
Well, I can make an offer.
Hey,
I don't have to pay the full price.
All right. We gotta move on with the show.
No.
Do we? Construction in the back. We're going to get canceled.
The good, the bad, and the silly. EGM takes a look at the wild side of gaming.
Oh, boy.
Are you guys ready?
Is this a Sean Baby joke?
Might get silly in here. All right. In 1998, game most bought by the EGM staff was Mario Kart 64.
Sure. Naturally.
They say, we're all fans of the first game, and the 64-bit update, although not quite as good, captures nearly all the fun of the original.
Wow, what a day.
Not quite as good as Super Mario Kart.
Hey, I love the SNES version, though. That is
the tightest feeling. I think it's trash.
Oh, stop that. That Mode 7 stand. It is not. It's so good. Don't even.
The most addictive
game. We played Mario 64 yesterday.
We played Mario Kart 64.
Yeah. What did you think? Was it playable?
It was playable. Yeah. It's still a lot of fun. A little hard to tell like what's coming up on the horizon. But.
Do you not like the Mode 7 version of the SNES one?
No, I hate Super Mario Kart.
Oh my gosh. Terrible. I love it. It's
so
the turning.
No,
the turning and the way that if you actually know how to bumper jump and turn, like that game was like tactile.
Single player or two player?
Both. Both were amazing, Sam.
So you agree with EGM?
I'm gonna destroy you. I mean, in this hot take, I do actually.
Wow.
EGM's most addictive game was GoldenEye 007.
Naturally,
they say GoldenEye for the Nintendo 64 is simply incredible. Not only is the one player game great to play, look at, and listen to, the multiplayer mode is reason enough alone to pick this one up. I like how they call it the one player game, not single player.
Using that term.
Yeah, it's funny. That game is also like, what was the game we were just talking about? Resident Evil, a little while ago back. If you play GoldenEye now.
We weren't talking about Resident Evil.
A while ago we were.
I'm just saying, if this came up
not
in 20 questions.
Not in this episode.
Said,
fine.
Damon, do we mention
I'm constantly
the game,
thinking the moment at the desk.
The game was Resident Evil. We watched it.
I'm pretty sure that was like Christmas. That was like December.
In my mind, it feels like yesterday. That is the last game that I've played where the controls and the way the game felt, I was like, oh, and then you play it.
GoldenEye is impossible to play.
It really is. It's one of those games where,
because we were playing Resident Evil 2 on the CRT television on PlayStation.
Yes.
Or 64. Yeah. That was a disaster.
It was. GoldenEye feels similar now going back to it.
All right. The biggest vaporware in 1998 was the M2.
Oh, yeah.
Which was supposed to be the follow up to the 3DO.
Yep.
Oh,
Never materialized.
Right.
Best voice acting was Oddworld Abe's Odyssey. Worst voice acting was Mega Man 8.
Yeah.
Oh,
no, that's amazing.
I know.
Mega Man.
They have an award for Best Middle.
Best Middle?
Okay.
They say it's Symphony of the Night.
I don't understand.
Yeah,
so, strange award, isn't it? Well, not too many games actually have a middle, but Symphony of the Night's case, many of you may have thought your game was over when, in fact, it was only half finished.
Okay.
That's their line of thing. Back from the Dead award goes to Game Boy Pocket.
Okay.
All right.
If you read last year's Buyer's Guide, you know that we pretty much left the Game Boy 4 dead, featuring it as one of the four systems ready to retire, along with the Sega CD, 32X, and Jaguar.
Ooh.
But now it's back. The Pocket brought it back.
Yep. Right. Mm.
Best diarrhea in a game.
In 1998, that's tough.
Parappa the Rapper.
Yeah, good one.
Gotcha.
Which I didn't even remember, but yeah, and I was like, yeah, oh, yeah, I guess there's a whole scene where he's like,
whole song.
Bakes a seafood pie for,
yep.
Yeah, and then he gets sick. There's some awards that are no longer appropriate that we have to skip over. Page 28, we've got...
they weren't appropriate then either.
Yeah. Most hype... Yeah, that's true. Most hype for a game, Final Fantasy VII.
Yep.
Naturally.
Best sequel, Symphony of the Night. Most disappointing sequel, FIFA 64.
Sure.
Sure, I don't
We can know. All remember
well,
that.
FIFA 63 was a lot better.
I don't remember why.
It was pretty good.
No.
Did it get you?
No, right. Not this time.
FIFA 63?
No. There was a Clay okay. Fighter 63 and a third.
There
third,
sure was. Exactly. And we had that on our on 20 Questions once, right?
Best cure for insomnia, Tale of the Sun. PlayStation game. I never played it, but I was aware of it. I think they're saying it's boring.
Mm.
Yeah, right? Tale in the Sun is notorious.
It's just a slow... You play like a Neanderthal, I think, and wander around the world and nothing really happens.
It's basically impossible. Dan Riker has a really amazing Tale in the Sun series of videos.
Best intro goes to Soul Blade. They say, best intro of the year. Heck, the opening cinema to this PlayStation fighter from Namco is the best intro ever.
Soul Blade was a precursor to Soul Calibur, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then game you need a PhD to play, Carnage Heart.
I don't know. Isn't that like a Disgaea? Sure.
They say, we knew we were in over our heads with Carnage Heart. As soon as we opened its box, the 34-page manual was no big deal, but then we flipped through the accompanying 60-page strategy guide, which was jammed with graphs and in-depth sections on battle tactics and how to program your OKE charts. All right. Yeah.
Well, sure.
It might be a mech game.
Most promising game company, Rare.
Oh.
That's true. That's good.
At least the next year or two.
Yeah.
Next couple of years.
They were right in the middle. That was like right in the middle of the Rare Renaissance.
Yeah. They give a best print ad award because, of course, the magazine. And that went to Final Fantasy VII.
Whoa. Did they show it?
A little tiny image of it there.
Yeah, okay.
I know. Oh, it's because I know why. I remember. The ad says, if Final Fantasy VII, it's a very cheeky ad. If Final Fantasy VII were available on cartridge, it'd retail for around $1,200. That was the ad. The ad was just taking a pot shot at Nintendo.
That's
it's like,
great.
You don't need to do that. You stole Square from Nintendo.
Savage.
Yeah.
Yeah. The ad for the game is just a bag on somebody else.
Then there's EGM's special report, which system is best?
Oh, well, they're just jumping. They're just, well, let's
they
just
have
cut right to it.
5-year old systems in that.
Yeah, exactly. So they go through each system. Nintendo 64, they have five reviewers reviewing each system. Jesus Christ.
It's getting louder.
This is crazy.
They're just talking about the noises again, not the Nintendo 64 scores.
Their scores range from 9 to a 7. Mm-hmm. Basically say the AAA games are very few and far between.
Sushi X gave it the 9.
Yeah.
Which is awkward since we know that he doesn't exist.
Well, the must-have peripherals for Nintendo 64 were the Rumble Pack, the Interact Arcade Shark, which is a third-party stick that, see, I don't even know how you would hold it.
What a piece of crap. Look at that thing.
I know.
It's hilarious.
The Nintendo Controller Pack and the Interact Game Shark, of course.
Cool.
We got Game Shark up and running here recently for the Nintendo 64.
Rumble Pack.
Top 10 favorites for the system. This is 1998, remember. Going counting down from 10 is Tetrisphere.
Yeah.
Pilotwings 64, Madden 64,
fun.
Blast Corps,
sports game.
Wave Race, Mario Kart 64, Star Fox, GoldenEye. Number 2 is International Superstar Soccer 64.
Okay. Yeah.
Must
number
be
two.
FIFA.
Yeah, must be.
And Mario 64, of course. This is pre-Ocarina of Time.
That's some
of
soccer, why?
Some of those games are good.
Yeah.
PlayStation has much higher scores than Nintendo 64, ranging from 9.5 to 8.5. This is
what if
the kind
today
of,
we let every reviewer here rate each system?
I mean, you
and then they got to review games.
Yeah.
That's insanity.
That would never work.
It happened in 1998.
There's also more PlayStation reviews. I think there's 5 of them. There wasn't 5.
There was 5 for. Okay. I think it's the same people each time. They say this is the kind of system to sink your money into.
There you go. Oh, future proofing.
They're
that's
not
their
wrong
assessment. PlayStation peripheral must-haves, the dual analog pad, of course, and then the Negcon analog controller. Oh, it spins in the middle for like racing games, I think.
Weird.
Memory card and the Namco GunCon, of course, for Point Blank. Is that what shooting gallery games were? Top 10 favorites.
Time Crisis.
On PlayStation. Jumping Flash 2, Mega Man X4, Twisted Metal 2, Tomb Raider, Tekken 2, NBA Live 97, NFL Game Day 98. Was that the college football series?
Yeah, but man, that's so weird.
Final Fantasy 7, Madden 98, and Castlevania Symphony of the Night.
Didn't they have Final Fantasy 7 on their most anticipated list?
Yeah.
Now they're putting it at number 3 on their best games list.
They also have a preview of Final Fantasy 7 coming later.
So out of all of those games, only two of them would I even consider playing.
But sports games
were
huge.
Which ones? Castlevania and Final Fantasy 7?
Yeah.
I mean,
all of those.
Tomb Raider was such a big deal back at the time.
I guess so.
It's a bigger deal on PC, though.
Now we get into the low scoring console, Saturn.
Ooh.
Sushi X gives it an 8.5, but Crispin Boyle gives it just a flat 5. Gets a couple flat 5s.
Ouch.
The Saturn is the only system that can thrill me on 1 month and totally disappoint me the next.
Ooh.
Assessment there. I'm not even going to go over the peripheral must-haves. Sega analog pad is crazy looking. The Sega Netlink is this keyboard and modem that you get it online with.
Yep.
The favorite games for the Sega Saturn. See how many of these you remember. Sega Rally, Virtual Fighter 2, Mega Man X4, Worldwide Soccer 97, Knights, Guardian Heroes, Dragon Force, Street Fighter Alpha 2, Madden 98, and Saturn Bomberman at number one.
Yeah. Saturn Bomberman.
Saturn Bomberman at 10 points.
I wouldn't play any of those games. What is the company line?
This is Bernard Stoller.
Okay.
Bernie Stoller.
Of Sega?
Yeah. Currently, we are focusing the majority of our efforts on Saturn software. Sega is still the number one software company on a global basis. All right, wait a minute.
Scant year before Dreamcast came out. Yeah, we're just focusing on the Saturn.
Yeah.
Well, also the year that Metal Gear Solid came out and Ocarina of Time and Resident Evil 2, and they're the global leader in software.
They had a lot of arcade games, but...
We have some of the most talented producers in the industry. The same people who made the great Sega games you loved in the past are hard at work making great games for the future. There is unstopped potential in the Saturn that the 98 lineup will take advantage of. Unstopped potential? It's just a weird way of saying that. The Super Nintendo is in here.
Aww. That's weird.
Ranked everywhere from 8 to 5.5, 1998.
Wow, what?
Every system has a group of games. Oh, wait. No, that's just about the games. The favorites for the Super Nintendo in 1998 were Tetris Attack, Super Mario Kart, Mario World, Final Fantasy III, Contra 3, Yoshi's Island, Super Metroid, Street Fighter 2 Turbo, Legend of Zelda, and Mario All-Stars.
Is Mario All-Stars on number one?
Number one.
Over Link to the Past?
Yeah. And over Mario World.
Jeez.
A package of three
pre-release
games.
I mean, if you're allowing compilations, that checks out.
I mean,
it's good.
No, but not over time. Why are they rating the system so low as well? Clearly that was one of those things where, nostalgia is not factoring
in.
It
was 98.
I know.
But the Genesis got much lower scores.
Oh.
Everything from 7.5 to 4.0.
Ooh.
The Genesis, yeah.
Ouch. How far are they falling out of favor?
I know. Yeah. Top 10 games, Revenge of Shinobi, Sonic 2, NHL 94, Shining Force 2, yes, Thunder Force 3, Ghouls and Ghosts, Herzog's Vi, Strider, Phantasy Star 2, and Gunstar Heroes.
It's a pretty good lineup.
It's a good lineup.
I never played Sonic 2. I only played 1 and 3.
Sonic 2 is good.
2 is great.
I know, 2 is the one that people like.
Yeah,
I think 3 is better than 2, but I think 2 is great.
Mm.
They have capsule reviews of handheld systems in here. Gamecom by Tiger Electronics is in here.
We have one of those in the office.
Do we? Well, in the case.
Yeah.
The Honor Dead.
The Honor Dead. They might have been cool at the time. Time has proven otherwise. What the hell were they thinking? They're including 32X, Sega CD, Virtual Boy, Neo Geo CD, Jaguar, 3DO, and Game Gear.
Game Gear. Portable color.
There's a dark time in the 90s where like it's unfathomable today, but everybody was making game consoles.
Yeah.
As a kid, it was terrifying. You didn't want to make the wrong choice.
What to buy? Yeah, the Game Gear actually was pretty cool.
Is that Shiggy?
Yeah, they have on page 63, they have a profile on the Game Boy. You've all heard the name before. Now take a look at the past, present, and future of the greatest man in video game history, Shigeru Miyamoto.
Show that. I mean, you can't really see, but that is really cool. On wireframe. Yeah.
It's a whole just profile on Miyamoto in there. We'll jump ahead here to the preview section.
There's the 1,000. We just scrolled right past the 1,000 tricks.
Yeah, that's true. So they got a preview from Madden 64. Does anybody remember anything significant about this game?
No.
I mean,
as you might expect, Madden 64 is a completely 3D game, unlike its 32-bit counterparts. What you might not expect is that it doesn't come with the NFL license. That has become a mainstay of video game football. The reason for this is that Acclaim secured exclusive rights to the NFL license for the Nintendo 64. Isn't that crazy?
Okay, yeah.
I had no idea.
It's like 2K. 2K ran into that as well early on. Like, everybody wanted 2K to get the license for football games. They just never got it because EA secured it. And the 2K is basketball.
But Madden 64 is EA. That's so wild.
Yeah, which is crazy. Yeah.
We mentioned Saturn Bomberman. That's their actual like fun facts little blurb on the page. Is that Saturn Bomberman is the biggest multiplayer console game ever, supporting 10 players at a time.
I still want to. I feel like that would be so much fun to play.
Yeah. So how did they like? Is there a multi-tap port?
Yeah, you did two multi-taps, two or three multi-taps.
That's crazy.
And then it actually wasn't. I remember reading about it in EGM and stuff, and the whole point was that since it all took place on a single screen, like it actually was less chaotic and hard to follow than you might think.
That's really smart. That's pretty cool.
And finally, in their tricks and code section, they have an article: 10 cool places to look on the net. The latest tricks, tips, and codes.
Is IGN64.com one of them?
Hold your horses. Hold your horses. Number 10, Rainier Schmied's PS Cheats. Just go to www.stuttgart.netsurf.de/childa-schmied/cheats.htm.
He's got them all.
That's in the magazine.
.htm.
They say, though not graphically anything to write home about, this is one of the better trick sites for finding the latest codes. A MIDI music file plays in the background while you're searching, but it gets annoying. It would be nice if there was an option to turn it off.
Oh, so good.
They're just reviewing the website.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Number 9, countless codes. 8, Misha's Cheat Central.
Yes.
Just go to pw1.netcom.com/tilde-mzt/cheats.html.
Oh, man. So good.
We got to go to all these.
This site has been out for a little less than a year. It takes a little while to load, but it's not bad. It
takes a little while to load.
Number 7, Sega Online, hints and tips. Sega's official, cheat site.
How do you think the music is?
Number 6, GameCenter.com. Yeah. The whole thing. Number 5, Happy Puppies Cheats.
Ah, we've been there.
You've been to before.
None of these are around.
Yeah. I remember
but number
that
4,
one.
N64.com.
Yeah.
Let's see. What does it look like?
That looks like IGN.
It's the old IGN in 1998. I mean, that's the old IGN. Yeah.
That's just totally recognizable.
Yeah.
N64.com is what turned into IGN.
That left
amazing.
Column.
They say, let's listen to the review. Though this site only pertains to Nintendo 64, it is probably one of the best sources for finding tricks for that system. It also has news on future games and reviews for those that are currently out. The site is clean, graphically pleasing, and has no real drawbacks. I think that's still true today.
Yeah.
That's
bias.
We need to adopt that. IGN.
I've never
clean, graphically pleasing, and no real drawbacks.
No real drawbacks.
I'm assuming I've never asked Pear, but like surely Nintendo asked for like at some point they're like, "Yo, you gotta."
Yeah,
give
that's
us.
Why that all changed.
The change.
Over.
Yeah.
And then they changed it to IGN 64.
That's crazy. I mean, those addresses. So what was like?
Number 3 is just called Cheaters, but the address is geocities.com/Times Square/arcade/8315/cheaters.html.
I can see the red line all the way across the page.
It's ahead of N64.com.
Wait. Number 1, the best site to find tricks on the net in 98 was called Universal Games. The address is islandart.com/islandart/Tim.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
The internet.
Yeah.
Just load up that Netscape Navigator and log on.
The 1998 Video Game Buyer's Guide from EGM. And normally that would bring us to Video Game 20 Questions, but what do you think? Does CJ have to go solo this week?
Yeah. Sam and I have to bounce it.
Oh, geez, solo. I don't know. 2 minutes? Should we do a speed round?
We can come back and do one.
Come back for Video Game 20 Questions?
Yeah. Probably be in 40 minutes or so.
Okay.
Spoilers, we're not coming back.
I'll come back.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Let's regroup.
All right, let's do it.
Great. All right, and that brings us to Video Game 20 Questions, and I don't mind telling you that this week's game was physically mailed to me.
Oh, cool.
With a letter from Patrick M. in Long Island, New York, and he says, I've been trying to get this game on 20 Questions. I email GameScoop every week to try to get this game on. I thought, why not just send it to you?
Now, one of the clues, Justin, is that it fits in Damon's backpack because he just brought his backpack in and
that's
we know
true.
It fits in there. So that's a clue.
You know, as a father of two, I've owned several backpacks in my day. So
yeah, I can see that. Yeah. It's the gray.
Mm-hmm.
So, let the questioning begin.
Does your character wear a hat?
No.
Okay, no hat. Got it.
Emphatic no hat. That's a clue in itself.
Okay.
This game on an optical released on optical based medium.
Yes.
Okay.
Could this game have appeared in the 1998 Buyer's Guide of EGM?
No.
Hmm. Okay, so before 98?
After 98.
Or after 98, yeah, sorry.
Let's go with before.
Sorry. After 98, disc-based medium, no hat. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Did this game have multiplayer?
Yes.
Mm. Multiplayer, okay. Is this game from Japan?
No. Ooh, that's okay. Five.
Okay.
I think it's like Xbox maybe here.
Yeah.
Was this on? Was this a first party game?
No.
Okay.
Mm. Yeah. Should we? I think we should define console. Yeah.
Was it multi-platform?
Yes.
Oh God.
Yeah. That's not good.
Okay. Is this predominantly known as an Xbox game? Well, no. Wait. If it's multi-platform. Yeah.
That's
a bad question.
Kind of racked that one.
Is this from the latest generation of consoles?
The one we're currently in?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. So that's
a couple generations.
That's GameCube, PS2, PS3, Xbox 360 era.
It's a lot in there still.
Yeah. Could also be PC.
Yeah.
Is the main mechanic in this game shooting?
No.
Okay. So it's a multiplayer game that's not a shooter. So that's a fighter. What else?
Or brawler. We had brawler last week.
Mm. Yeah.
That's good. Or sports.
I think somebody would send Damon a sports game. I don't think so. I don't think so.
He didn't look disappointed when he came in, so it's hard to tell.
Yeah. Well, let's try to do genre again real quick.
Was this game well received?
Reasonably well received, yes. That's 10.
That's such a throwaway question.
Yeah. Well, no, because usually when it's a turkey, it helps us. And we got one that was on question 20 with Seth, where it was a bad game with multiplayer, so we knew what it was.
Is this...
We're not going to get this one anyway. So
stop that, Sam. Stop it. Multi-platform.
Multi-platform... Not Japanese.
How do we just narrow it down more?
Disc-based.
You guys have to have the console. I usually do.
Not a shooter. No, I don't need to have the console.
I don't need to have the console in this situation if it's multi-platform.
Just generationally, it's really tough.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, should we ask if it's a fighting game? Just get that out of the way?
Or sequels?
Mm.
Genre is good. I do like genre.
I do
we
too.
We just do all of our rest of our questions on genre. We might
sure. Yeah. Yeah. Is
but,
it?
But,
let's ask it.
We know it's multiplayer, so we don't have to ask any. Well,
hey, the fighting game makes sense. Eliminates a lot on
what about
a bunch
do,
of disc
does it help games. To say like do you compete or do you work together?
Because
like,
even that is so vague. Because you can play sports games that way, and it's still.
Oh, yeah.
Is it a fighting game?
Yes.
Okay. Cool.
That
okay.
Is so good.
It is.
All right. Disc-based
fighting game.
No, stop it. I think we can because it's not that.
Okay,
many
but it's not. It's not developed in Japan, so that takes out Soul Calibur. All of Capcom fighting games. I mean, it could be Mortal Kombat.
It could be
Mortal or Killer.
Yeah.
Why on the NES? What?
No, I'm saying like a lot of the NES stuff would potentially be.
It's a disc based. It's a disc based game.
What yeah, but
and it's from
about?
The last two platforms.
Wait, can you no. run? Just run through your logic.
The Wii U, and the Wii. Last two generations.
I wouldn't count the
about?
Wii as last two generations, but okay. Well, I guess I would.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
What are you guys talking about?
Why are you talking about the NES?
No, I'm trying to eliminate some of the fighting games that are on each of the systems.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you think it's that crappy castle? No, that was I was going to do the Castlevania fighting game.
What are we at? 11?
Yeah, 11 questions.
All right.
Is this predominantly known for its gore?
No.
Okay.
Whoa, a nice fighting game.
So a friendly fighter.
Yeah.
Not developed in Japan.
That's the part that's tricky.
So like Injustice?
Maybe,
is
yeah.
Is this a licensed game?
Yes.
Okay.
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 Is this a... yeah, I'm trying to think if this is a cross-up. Do you know what I mean? I think we can narrow it down to if it's...
Wait, that's a Canadian word.
But a better cross-up.
Yeah.
It is.
Really?
Yeah.
What do you
We call it a crossover.
We like call them melt bags.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You've been listening. Yeah, it's like a crossover. Okay. Because then this could be like
because
you know,
you're
Marvel
saying
versus Capcom. It could be...
Yeah, yeah.
That's Japanese.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. I think it's probably Injustice, but let's...
Yeah.
Okay. Well, do you...
Oh, license. Oh, there's all kinds. Go ahead.
That's what I mean.
Does this game feature... DC superheroes?
No.
Oh.
A licensed fighting game.
That eliminates.
Oh man. Okay.
I feel like we
should... Is there Ninja Turtles games that came out recently?
It's not.
No.
Nothing?
I feel like, even if it was disc-based, I feel like maybe there's like a 16-bit or a 3D question that might allow us to... Because a lot of games that got re-released and then they were still primarily 16-bit.
Like what type of graphics it
is? Yeah, what type of graphics it is.
Okay. Are there fighters like that?
Yeah.
I mean, the weird stuff like Nidhogg and stuff. Is that going to count?
But that's what
it's not a fighter.
No.
Wow. Not traditionally.
It's not licensed anyway. So like this is a tie-in, funny, licensed, like weird thing that has a fighting game, or it's like something as big as Injustice. It could be like
after 98. It could be Masters of Terracotta.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that was
maybe that might have come out after 98. It is licensed.
Yeah, I think that was before.
Yeah, might be. I'm trying to look at Damon.
I know exactly. It's part of the game, man. Just seeing if Damon breaks when you. How many? Where are we at? Okay, we're at 14.
About to come on the home
stretch.
What
about PlayStation All-Stars? Was that developed here?
I thought that was Japan, wouldn't it be?
No.
Japan?
I don't think so. Yeah, maybe. I don't know who developed.
Is that called
developed.
Battle Royale?
I don't. Yeah, I think so, yeah.
That's fine.
Well, okay, so let's think of, I think license is probably the strongest angle.
Oh,
so
absolutely.
Let's think of like
licensed fighting.
Let's think of licenses.
Should we ask if it's an indie game?
Why would an indie game have a licensed fighting game?
I don't know, but
though?
Like sometimes that like Scott Pilgrim or something would be like
a. That's a brawler though. It's not a fighting game.
No, I'm just saying it's just an indie game with a license.
Yeah, well that's
and
what
if
I
this
was
is something like
see,
small
yeah.
enough, like an Adult Swim game or something, then I'm worried about that.
They did make that game where Jesus fights. He's my favorite fictional character.
There's
well that's what I mean.
There is a Teenage Brawlhalla... Mutant Ninja Turtles game.
Yeah,
that is,
there was that too.
That is a Smash Brothers knockoff.
That's what I was thinking of, like 16-bit or trying to identify. Yeah, if it's something like old school like that.
I don't know where to go.
I don't know either. It feels like we're.
Should we ask if it's based on a movie, comic book, or TV show?
Let's ask. Let's ask movie.
Like that? Is it based? Well, what things? Because
I feel like it's.
That?
I feel like it's Star Wars.
Star Wars.
Yeah.
For a fighter.
I feel like it's. Oh no, because it's not. That's the wrong generation that I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
So I'm wrong.
Say. Maybe comic books or.
Let's ask comic books because movies, I think, would be too.
Is this based on characters that appear in comic books?
No.
That's 15.
It's 15.
That eliminates
where's the
a
boss
lot
music
that I was
so
thinking
much.
Of.
I mean, it was
I
seriously
I didn't plan.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
Da-da-da-da-da-da.
What if it's based on like mascots and snacks, like the Noid?
That's too. There's just not enough of that in like
Chester
in
Cheetah.
Recent generations.
I know.
Man. Well, I think maybe the indie question is a good one because there's a bunch
I think
of.
That's a bad idea.
Wait, did we ask if it just had DC characters in it? That's what we asked.
Yeah,
yeah.
We did. So it can't be Mortal Kombat versus DC,
right.
And it can't be Injustice.
Correct.
Right. And it can't be Ninja Turtles. And it can't be.
Was
any
there
things.
A like recent Marvel game that was similar? To, no, was it asked a comic? No.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. That eliminates the comic book question. Eliminated.
What
so
kind
much.
Of movie and TV characters could even TV?
You might have been onto something with the PlayStation All Stars, though.
Yeah. Because, I mean, that's technically...
Well, no, because it's multi-platform, so it couldn't be Battle Royale.
Right.
That's weird. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yep. Man. Oh, that is a good
disc.
Save. Yeah. Yeah, so there's all those games.
Man. Fighter.
Yeah, Edelman. It's got to be some kind of new kind of DLC
I'm just thinking
indie game.
I don't know why I think that. Is this an indie game?
No.
Man! Because, you know, there's Duck Game and all that stuff.
But that's not a license.
No, I know, but I just, what if there's something in there? And it wasn't badly received? Oh, what are like all the anime fighting games? Like, are there any that could have been
like
made in
Dragon
America?
Ball?
Like,
I don't know.
What's the,
all those
Avatar?
All those anime fighters are.
Are all Namco.
They're
right?
All Bandai Namco, yeah. Most of them, anyway.
Like something that Mitchell's reviewed, you know?
Yeah.
But also, this could have been 15 years ago.
Yeah, it could have been two generations ago.
Like something on PlayStation 2, you know, which is like super funny and just some awful licensed game that people liked at the time.
I just can't think of anything that is not based on either a comic book.
Did we talk about Castlevania Judgment? We did, right?
Yeah, I'd mentioned that, but that's a Japanese game.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, that's Konami.
I love it, though.
You love that game?
No, I just think it's the funniest thing for someone to send Damon to do this game with.
Sam's cheating. Sam's cheating. Don't look it up.
Yeah, I wish my mom was texting me to answer this.
Dude, I have no idea.
Yeah.
There are literally no questions I can think of to ask that make it any easier.
If the era helped, would it?
I don't think
no.
so. The graphics.
No, you guys keep saying that. If we did find out it was like PS2 era, then I would really shift our
well, but
we
it's
know
still
it's not
3D.
What about like a Nickelodeon fighting game? Do you know of any Nickelodeon fighting games that might have come out?
Because it's not gory, so we know it's like kids like...
But those are usually all based off comic books.
Yeah.
Most of them.
I just can't, like, I know that there's like a SpongeBob kart racer and platformer, but I don't know that there's a SpongeBob fighting game.
Yeah. No.
Especially not one that was reviewed favorably.
Okay, so we know it's not this generation. Should we just ask just one burner question? Is this the last generation?
Sure.
Because if it's not, it's GameCube era. And then I think we can kind of think about it differently.
Okay.
Well, am I wrong about that?
What are you asking?
Is this from the last generation?
From
360? PS3, 360?
Yeah.
No.
Okay, so we're looking at PS2, GameCube, Xbox.
Unless it was like primarily an arcade game and then it just got re-released on consoles.
Just think of like almost like decent but shovelware stuff that would have been on the PS2, GameCube, Xbox. That's hard.
That's so long ago.
Because all these things had... Like, all movies had games at the time. Are we doing this wrong?
Oh, we're so far gone. Battle Arena, Toshinden, Virtua Fighter. Those are the only games that I can think... Well, no, because you even asked if it was in the EGM magazine.
Japanese.
And those are all Japanese.
It's like sandwiched between 1998 and 2008.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we eliminated all the Mortal Kombat.
2005.
Yeah, 2005.
What do we ask, yeah, to eliminate those? Yeah, like...
We asked if they were gory.
Yeah, that's right.
I want to help you, but I don't want to confuse you.
Okay.
I'll just say there was an early question you asked that the information could be it could lead you down the wrong path.
Because it couldn't have what the EGM one?
I think it might be the license one.
Okay. The license one?
Maybe we're getting too hung up on what the license is.
You've also asked yourselves good questions that you didn't ask me.
Great.
F.
Jeez. I mean...
Like about comics and movies and TV, maybe?
Oh, well, unless TV is different from comics.
It's inherently different. That's a whole different medium,
well,
my dude.
I know, well, but there's so many things that cross over where they've either been comics first and then hit TV later. I just don't think that TV...
Oh, my mom just texted me the answer.
That's good.
Well, do you want to ask, TV, if it's a TV?
I don't know.
Why would it be TV, especially then?
I don't think
it would. Especially back in that generation.
And then the only thing is the graphics, like if it's a 16 based versus.
Yeah, I don't think it would be.
I don't think it's going to help.
Is this based on a TV set of characters?
No.
So should we just ask movie and then answer this?
We should just throw a bunch and ask the hack.
Because I don't think it's from.
Have we mentioned?
You only have one.
Have we mentioned the game already?
No.
Okay.
Oh, there you go. All right. Nowhere near.
So that means that we have to guess. And I think that it is. Hollywood Monsters Unleashed.
Was there a what?
No. Okay, never mind.
Was there Disney stuff, you think? Like a
Disney fighter? I don't know.
That's all.
I fold. I don't know what this is.
Yeah, this is crazy, man. Yeah.
Well, I have to say I had high hopes for Zach.
Oh no.
Coming
no.
In here.
Oh no.
Oh wait, is it wait. Is it
okay.
Is it Destroy All Monsters?
It is. Godzilla, Destroy All Monsters.
Yes! Oh, yes! No way!
For the GameCube.
Wow. You know what? I thought about that earlier. I thought about that earlier, but I was like, that has to be a Japanese game.
Japanese licensed, but made in America.
Oh,
weird.
Does that count as a win? Did we win?
Yeah, we'll give you that.
Yeah.
Nicely done. Wow. I mean, I'd have never guessed that.
Nicely done.
Oh, GameCube.
This is
okay.
One of those that we can't walk out there and ask our the rest of the people to identify. They'll never get it.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So I feel like it's fairly well known.
Yeah, I remember this game like pretty well, actually.
I think you just have all the monsters fighting each other, so Godzilla fans.
Did you see what the developer was?
No, who's the developer?
It's Atari.
No way.
It's like the actual developer is Pipeline, and then Atari published
it.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah, I don't remember that.
I happen to call this as the most obscure game that Damon's ever chosen.
That's probably true.
It's just not. It's not an obscure license, though. Is the thing.
Yeah.
So what? So what was the question that we're kind of
when you
almost
asked
there?
If it was a Japanese game.
Oh,
gotcha.
Very what Japanese about the questions license? We were supposed to be asking ourselves?
No.
Is it based on a movie?
Yeah.
Oh, so that's what I was saying.
Well, you know, we didn't ask if it was based on a franchise. We didn't ask if. Yeah. It,
yeah.
All right.
But we did know comics and TV and stuff like that. So we either knew it was based on a snack or a movie.
What's a snack fighting game?
What's not?
Indeed.
Cookie Crashers.
The interesting thing is,
you don't think in the Super Nintendo Street Fighter era there was no licensed games that were based on food?
I can't think of any.
Okay,
Pizza Pirates,
Doritos, Fighters,
licensed games maybe, but there's like the Noid, like Yonoid, Cool Spot, but not fighting games,
right? Yeah, okay, those are platformers.
Virtua Cheeto wasn't a thing.
Pepsi Man,
yeah.
Yeah, I don't think so. This game came to GameCube and Xbox, but not PS2.
But not PS2. Yeah. No,
that's weird.
That's so funny. I wouldn't have got it if you hadn't have said that you knew that I was or thought that I would get it. Because
but what made you?
Because
Damon and I share a deep love of Godzilla.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and so I only knew Damon like Godzilla.
Yeah.
That's Did you crazy. Play this?
In passing, yeah. I never owned it, but
It's okay.
Yeah, it's fine.
Like, if it didn't have the Godzilla license, it would be trash.
Yeah, right. Rampage-like, but you fight monsters?
No, it's just like a 3D fighting game where you can smash the city.
Mm-hmm.
Like each other around. It's just cool to see all the different kaiju in there.
Nicely Whew. Job.
Thank you very much.
Nicely job, indeed.
What's Destroy All Monsters from? Because there's a band with that name.
Well, Destroy All Monsters is a movie.
That collected a bunch of kaiju
and
together.
Like it was like the Avengers Endgame of the Godzilla era. Yeah.
Is it from the 70s?
Probably,
yeah.
By that time. They'd built up enough kaiju by then to
bring them all back.
So
they had enough dudes that could wear those suits to come back.
So he sent you this game.
He mailed me that, yeah. So this is our library copy of that now.
That is great.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, you Thank should check you. Out
Also, Godzilla Destroy All Monsters, I feel like, is the very definition of a Damie game.
It's totally a Damie game.
That is all the scoops we have for this week, and we're actually going to be off next week because I'm going to be on vacation in Hawaii.
Nice.
Jared Petty's not coming in to co-host?
Not this time, I don't
he
think.
He might meet you
he
in Hawaii.
He might still be in Hawaii.
Ooh.
That's 20 questions in a row that we got on question 20.
That's true. It was Battleborn. Last week.
Yeah.
Seth.
If you do a third on 20 next week, you just have to retire 20 questions forever. So,
yeah.
No, we get one more question.
It's contractual.
It becomes 21 questions.
Yeah.
That is all the scoops we have for you. Thank you. Thank you, CJ. Thank you, Zach. Thank you, Justin. Thank you, Sam. Mm-hmm. My name is Damon. We'll see you in 2 weeks en route.
Good job, Lee. Nice.
Evil, super powerful robot. Evil. Super powerful robot, evil. Super powerful robot, evil. Super powerful, evil. Super powerful robot, evil. Super powerful robot, evil. Super powerful robot, evil. Super powerful. Evil robot, bye. Super powerful robot evil.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it. Or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.